Good morning. It's now time for the Taos Methodist Church service from Taos City on the Bay's Best, WIOS.
If you'd like to make, that's a good place to make them. And you can join our live broadcast at WIOSradio.com. By radio at 1480 AM and 106.9 FM. You can also watch our live stream on Zoom and Facebook and YouTube. And links to these can all be accessed at our website, taosmc.org. Remember, you can always learn more about us at our website, taosmc.org. The flowers under the cross, lovely flowers there, are placed in memory of Dee Davis by her husband, Al Davis, who attends the Saturday night worship service. So he left them for us this morning. Our weekly weekend schedule begins Saturday mornings at 8:30 with the men's morning prayer group. All the men are invited to that, and casual worship at 4, and then Sunday school at 9, and traditional worship at 10. Today, immediately following the service, there will be some training for the IT team and anybody else who's interested in learning about the IT equipment and how to participate in the church in that way. And then at 4 o'clock, our youth program will meet. So we've got, as soon as church is over, if you want to learn about IT, stick around out in the gathering space, and then at 4 o'clock, come by for the youth program. If you're 10 and up, I think there's some limit on that, but anyway. Monday, we got the ladies' Bible study at 11 a.m., and we have an SPRC committee meeting at 7 p.m. on Monday evening, February 26th. Does that sound right? Thought so. Just want to make sure you're looking. Tuesday, February 27th, prayer ministry at 5 and bell choir at 6:15. And then on Wednesday, our ladies' lunch bunch at Big Boys at noon and sanctuary choir at 5:45 and book study at 7 on Wednesday. And then Classy Crafters will meet on Thursday at 2 p.m. And then just a reminder about ordering flowers for Easter. Right after the worship service is over in the gathering area, there is a sign-up sheet, a little table. It says sign up for ordering flowers for Easter. That'll be set up here and then taken home afterwards. Please order your flowers. I think there's a deadline like next weekend is the latest. And then just a reminder that our office hours are Tuesdays through Fridays, 9 till 2. We're closed on Mondays. And what that means is if you come by on Monday, there won't be anyone here. Sometimes you have to just say that, you know, just people aren't awake yet, and it helps to get into the mind. With that, I'd like to, that ends the announcement, so I'd like to turn it over to Sean and lead us in the gathering hymn.
Let's stand and sing together. Verses 1, 2, and 4 of Are Ye Able?
Morning.
Please join me in the call for worship. I'll read the light print and you'll read the bold print. Jesus said, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Did you guys hear me? Okay. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. To the fishermen, Jesus said,
follow me, and I will make you fish for people.
To a disciple who wanted to compare himself with another, Jesus said,
If I want him to remain alive until I return,
what is that to you?
You must follow me.
To you and me, Jesus says, follow me. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. Now we go to our time of prayer. We'll begin with silent prayer and end together with the Lord's Prayer. Let's join together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to you for sending Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for sins, for the sins of the whole world, that all who call upon his name will receive mercy and salvation. And we're so grateful to you, Father, that you've gathered us together as the body of Christ to honor you and to worship you and to seek wisdom from you and to live our lives with your direction. So, Lord, as we worship you today, inhabit the praises of your people. Come and be among us and guide us to a higher level of consciousness in terms of who we are and who you are and how we relate to you. Bless us, Lord, as we seek to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
time for the young Christian moment. Children, would you please come forward? Good morning. I wonder if any of you like to read. Like to read? Yeah, well, reading can be a hobby. Some people like to read a lot. Anybody else have any other hobbies? Things that you like to do? Yeah. You like to go on vacation? That's a good one. Yeah. You like to swim? Do you swim often? In the summertime. Okay, summer hobby. Hey, but you had a hobby. Think about it. If it's something you really like, it's going to come to your mind right away. Anything else? Anybody? Say that again. Wakeboarding. You're going to have to teach me about that one. I think that's kind of a younger generation. Anybody else know wakeboarding? Maybe you'll have a seminar. Now, when I was young, there were some sports that I played, and I really liked those, and I would consider them hobbies because I did it all the time. Now, I walk. Does that sound exciting to you? Well, it's exciting to me. I mean, I do it every day, like, a lot. It's just to keep the old ticker, you know, ticking in there, right? So, yeah. What kind of pictures? Pigs. Like, are these photographs you take yourself? Are they in a magazine? You like to look at pictures of pigs. Do you do this every day? Okay. Do you do this when you're supposed to be doing homework? Okay, that's good. I'm glad of that. Well, all of us have things that we like to do. And here's the tough question today. What if you had to give up? What if you couldn't look at pig pictures any longer? What if you couldn't do wakeboarding? What if you had to give it up? How would it make you feel? A little sad? Maybe even angry? Well, today we're talking about this Bible verse that shares us some words from Jesus, Matthew chapter 4:19. Jesus said to some of the fishermen who became his disciples, he said, follow me and I will make you fish for people. Follow me. Jesus is saying, follow me and I'll make you fish for people. And this included people like the famous disciples, Peter and John and Andrew and a few others. And you know what they had to do? They had to stop fishing. That was their business. I mean, Jesus might ask you to give up a hobby. But some people might have to give up a whole business. That's like a big deal. But if your hobby is really important to you and you have to give that up, it's a big deal. You might be sad. But if Jesus said to you, if you give up this one thing in your life, what I give you is going to be so much better. Would it make you feel better? He gives us something much better than what we give. Got to stand up and do that so everybody can see. Right. Well, that's exactly right. When Jesus says to us, follow me, we don't really know what that means. Because when Jesus said, follow me to the disciples, they didn't know he was going to go to the cross. And they didn't know. You know, a lot of Jesus' disciples also gave up their lives. They died because they were followers of Jesus. And you don't know that all at the beginning. But the other thing they didn't know is that they would be raised from the dead and they would go to heaven because they followed Jesus. Today we're talking about being disciples of Jesus. And Jesus calls us to be his disciples. And he does call us to give up certain things. Some people give up something that's really special to them. And it might be a hobby or it might be a place of living. Some people actually give up their jobs and stop doing that job and follow Jesus. And whatever it is, in your life or my life, what Jesus gives us back is so much better. To be his disciple is the best thing in the world. And that's what he's asking us in this Bible. He's saying, follow me. He's saying it not just to Peter and John back then, 2,000 years ago, but he's saying it to us today. Follow me. And that's what I want you guys to think about. Do I want to be in the center of the universe? Do I want to be in the center? Father, thank you for our young people. Each one of these is so precious and holds within them so much potential. Lord, help them to be disciples of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Mr. Maleska is back there waiting for you. You can follow him to Junior Church.
Every hour I need thee, oh bless
you. Please be seated. Terry Boudreau will come and lead us in the scripture reading this morning from the book of Luke.
9:57-62. As we were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back at it is fit for the kingdom of God." Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Jesus' would-be followers. Those who want to follow, but. What comes after but that matters, right? Along with the traitor, Judas, many people crossed paths with Jesus while he walked on the earth, but they never followed him. Some received miraculous healings, but turned around and immediately disobeyed him to not tell anybody. Some received his miraculous provision of food when he fed the crowds. Some received him into their homes, but never followed him. Instead, sometimes they even criticized him. Some had dreams about Jesus, but did not support him when it counted most. Christ's resurrection certainly captured people's attention, no doubt about that. It was the talk of many people's conversations, whether they believed it or not. And followers began to multiply after he rose from the dead. 3,000 converted by Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost. Soon after, that number rose to 5,000. Isn't it the same in our day? You can join as a member of a church, or you can come forward to a rail when there's an altar call, and you can make a commitment of faith. You can be miraculously healed. There are many testimonies of people receiving miraculous healings from God. Or you can have a dream about Jesus. I've heard many people share dreams about Jesus, but none of these make a person a disciple. Now, we all know, we've talked about it from time to time, that a disciple is a learner, a student, or one who follows. I think we could also include in that list one who imitates. Well, Jesus said when a student is fully trained, he or she will be like the teacher. So there's that idea of imitation as well. But in the New Testament, there's also a scripture that says some are always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. So just to be a student enrolled in Jesus' school of discipleship doesn't make us a disciple. And then there's the question, can a person be a believer in Jesus Christ and not be a disciple? In other words, are there like different levels of what it means to be a Christian? I'm a believer, she's a disciple. Can that take place? That's like asking, can I believe and not obey? That doesn't sound very practical or holy. I think the famous martyr Dietrich Bonhoeffer addressed that question, and he came to the conclusion that for a believer, discipleship is not an option. Faith and discipleship may be two different things, but make no mistake about it. A believer has already taken the first step in discipleship. If that believer continues to live and breathe, you can be sure discipleship is in the making. If that believer does not follow Jesus, it will be an open question as to whether or not the faith was genuine in the first place. So today I'm going to talk about the three encounters. You know, either Jesus called a person to follow him, or someone on their own initiative said, "I'll follow you." You know, there was the one that said, "I'll follow you wherever you go." And he says, "Hey, foxes have holes in the ground, or dens, and birds have nests, and the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Are you willing to do that?" So there's three encounters here. And these people who Jesus interacted with they had expressed some desire to follow him, or they admired him possibly and wanted to learn more. And at this stage, they looked like prospective disciples, definite potential followers of Jesus. They may have given Jesus reason to pursue asking them to follow. There doesn't seem to be any evidence, though, that any of these three actually ended up following him as disciples. On the contrary, it seems more like they would be described as would-be followers of Jesus rather than genuine disciples of Jesus. And anyone who wants to be a genuine disciple of Jesus must follow him. There's a giving up of certain aspects of our lives that are required. You only have 24 hours in a day. If your day is full now and you want to follow Jesus, something has to go. Now, Jesus responds to each of them differently. And I think we learn something from each of these responses. But there's something in between the lines. You can't see it. It's not a marginal reference. It's not a footnote at the bottom. We don't immediately notice this that's in between the lines, but one of the more important principles of discipleship is that of spending time with Jesus. Spending time together with the Lord. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they major on this. We've all read the Gospels multiple times. Each of those four Gospels emphasizes this truth. A disciple of Jesus spends much time with Jesus. Famous authors in the area of discipleship and other topics have made this point. After observing Jesus' life in detail as it is expressed in the Bible. And the lessons we learn from these three encounters are lessons that are learned through spending time with Jesus. And you'll notice the three people that interacted with him, these were not people who were walking around following him every day. These were people who saw something in Jesus, something admirable, and they thought, I'd like to follow that. So the spending of time with Jesus is something that I would suggest develops a desire to know him more. If you don't know him, you might look at him and say, hey, he did a miracle, I'd like to be part of that. Hey, he preaches with authority, I'd like to be part of that. But actually becoming part of that may not be within our power or our self-motivation. But if a person spends time with Jesus, some of these difficult things, like not having a place to lay the head, they might just roll off our back as insignificant. I encountered this when we lived in Kazakhstan. You know, in America, we've got things pretty good, most of us. I mean, there's a lot of bad things in America, and you can look around and see destruction in a lot of places. But the vast majority of us have grown and lived our lives with relative ease and peace and comfort, and in some cases even possibly luxury. Well, if you take a person who grows up in this environment and put them in a third world country, things can get a little difficult. If you have to live with an outhouse instead of a indoor plumbing, there's a change that has to take place there. Now, I would say a number of the older members of our congregation probably had outhouses when you were young. Some of us younger people, first time we saw one, we thought, ugh, I'm not going in there. But in a third world country, it's just normal life. You have an outhouse. And if you've never grown up with something like that, you might say, maybe I don't want to be a missionary after all. And I've seen it happen. People have left the mission field because it wasn't up to their comfort standards. So you understand what Jesus meant when he said, foxes have holes in the ground, birds have nests. And just the other day, I was taking Art Lamb to the hospital to visit his wife, Joanne, who had leg surgery. And on the way back, we were driving down the highway, and he said, oh, look, an eagle's nest. Now, I wouldn't be able to point out an eagle's nest from anything, but just a hunk of stuff in a tree. But as I looked at it more carefully, I thought, hey, that's not just a, you know, grass and mud and a little thing. Those are twigs, like massive twigs. Well, eagles are bigger, right? And their nests are pretty impressive. Not only do birds have nests in the trees, but they fit. Each bird has its own nest that fits it. God takes care of them. if you follow Jesus, you're going to encounter some things that you didn't expect. And that's why this first encounter, this first person who heard that question about the foxes and the birds, is really having to deal with the will. The first encounter, it's your will. You have to deal with your will if you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus' disciples want to follow him more than anything else. It's their will. The human will is so powerful. Your will decides what you do. It doesn't matter what you say you believe. Really, you can say you believe anything. But your will, that's what does things. Philippians chapter 2, verse 20 says, this is Paul writing to the Philippians about Timothy. He's praising Timothy. He says, I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. All of them, other people, all of them are seeking their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Well, evidently, Timothy was a person who sought Jesus Christ's interests, not his own. Other people were more interested in their own needs and things. Not Timothy. He said, I'm not important. They're important, and I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to spend my time praying for them. The most difficult thing in the world is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's also the most rewarding thing in the world. Why? Because nobody's making you do it. If you join the military, and many of us have, once you join the military, once you sign on the dotted line, there are laws that motivate you to continue. And sometimes more than laws, right? There might even be financial remuneration that motivates you to continue in the military. If you follow Jesus, nobody is making you do it. Nobody's on your back, yelling at you, calling you certain unspeakable names. It must be your will to pick up your cross and follow Jesus. Because that's what he said. He said, you cannot be my disciple unless you pick up your cross and follow me. Can't do it. And that goes against your will and my will. The disciple of Jesus exchanges his will for the will of God. That's what we do. I'll never forget sitting at a lunch table, long rectangular table with other seminary students, and one student said, Jesus suffered so we don't have to. Now, I wasn't the real scholar and certainly not a good debater, but there was someone sitting next to me who was, and I was very thankful for that person. And they entered into a discussion about anybody who follows Jesus will suffer. I mean, the Bible talks about persecution pointedly, but Jesus did not suffer so that we don't have to. Jesus suffered so that we would have an opportunity to be saved. Suffering is part of the Christian life. Psalm 143:10 says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. This is the words of someone who wants to follow God's will. And they're putting their own will behind them because they know that God's will is the right way to go. Another encounter had to do with loyalty. This is the second encounter. And remember, this is the one where the person said, I'll follow you, but let me go bury my father first. So Jesus' disciples love Jesus more than anything else. We're talking about loyalty here. Now, when I thought of this word loyalty, a couple of things came into my mind. Like, you know, when we talk about loyalty, we think about duty, maybe obligation. These are parts of loyalty. Why talk about love when you're talking about loyalty? Well, I think love has a lot to do with it. And I think in the root of the matter, I think even duty and obligation have something to do with love often, or they can have something to do with love. So your loyalty has to do with your view of God's love for you. Do you know God loves you? Are you aware of the depth of God's love for you? If you really know God's love for you, it's going to do something in your actions. When we decide to be loyal to someone, there's a strong element of love involved. We are loyal to those who we know love us. The person who is loyal is the person who counts the cost. This is all part of love. Have you ever had a decision that you had to make in your life, and you thought about that decision? It was a big decision. I mean, you know what's small and big in your own lives. Everybody has their own big decision. But this was a big decision that you made, and you sat down and you counted the cost. And maybe, just maybe, you came to the point where you said, I don't know how much this is going to cost. I think it's the right thing to do. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to pay the cost. But who knows? Maybe, just maybe, the cost is higher than I can pay. And you turn to God and you say, God, I don't know how much this is going to cost me, but I'm willing to do it if you'll pick me up when I can't pay it. I hope you've been to that place in your life. If you haven't been to that place in your life, I hope you come to that place in your life. It's a very scary place to be, but it's also a place where you learn to trust. You learn to trust God. And believe me, if you put your trust in God, He will not disappoint you. Romans chapter 5:8 talks about God's love for us. And this Bible verse is used by a lot of people who talk or who share the gospel. They're trying to tell people about Jesus. This is a very common verse they use to talk about how God loves us. And Romans chapter 5:8 says, but God proves His love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. Now, as you meditate on that, we can read it and say, yes, I agree with that. But you meditate on that, and you realize that He didn't have to do that. And you meditate on it a little further, and you think, well, we really weren't worthy of Him doing that. And you roll these ideas around in your mind, and you realize that He really did something. In fact, what He did for me is so amazing. It evokes my loyalty to Him. And the reason is just this. He gave His life for me and for you. Why not give our lives for Him? Loyalty, the will, these are the things that Jesus asks of us if we are to be His disciples. And if you're not willing to give your will and your loyalty, it means you're not a disciple of Jesus. I'm sorry to say that so firmly, but I think there's a lot of, in our society, there's a lot of teaching or understanding that really misses what Jesus meant when He said, follow me. It's like, yeah, follow Him. So the third encounter has to do with obedience. You know, follow me. Okay, Jesus, I'll follow you, but let me go back and say goodbye to my family right now. What's wrong with saying goodbye to my family? Actually, nothing's wrong with saying goodbye to your family. But the point is here is your obedience. Now, I'm talking instantaneous obedience. We do not follow Jesus on our schedule. We follow Jesus on His schedule. Jesus' disciples obey when Jesus speaks. There's an instantaneous element in obedience. When a person delays obedience to God, there's a greater possibility of distractions and disobedience and straying. So, this has to do with instantaneous obedience. When Jesus calls, we go. That's it. Simple. Not easy, but simple. This has to do with our view of God's authority. You know, we obey when we recognize authority. And we obey quickly when the one we're obeying is the very one who laid down His life for us, showing His love for us. It's a lot easier to obey quickly when we realize the sacrificial nature of the one we're obeying than when we realize the penalty, potential penalty of disobedience. That might be a military sergeant or something like that. You disobey the military sergeant, there's a penalty. But you know the one you're obeying laid down His life for you. There's an eagerness. There's a desire. I know He loves me. I'll obey Him. So to obey quickly can only be done if you're ready, if you're prepared, and if you're determined to do the will of God. You have to take up your cross. You've denied yourself. You've counted the cost, and you're ready. All of this happens when you spend time with Jesus, like I mentioned earlier. The person who just sees the great things Jesus does and wants to join in is not aware of what the cost might be. They're not aware of the value of Jesus' love for them. And that's why Jesus' answers were so pointed. We have to spend time with Christ. Psalm 119, verse 32 says, and this is about quick obedience, I run the way of your commandments, for you enlarge my understanding. So to run the way of his commandments, is this talking about immediate, quick obedience when God speaks, when we understand what the Word of God says. And this is for understanding. If I obey God, I'm going to understand who I am and what life is all about better through my obedience to God. Another one, Psalm 119, verse 60 says, I hurry and do not delay to keep your commandments. So again, this is talking about someone who understands the commandment of God and says, okay, I'm going to do that. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. God rarely tells us what the outcome is going to be when he says, do something. But I know who's saying it. I know his love for me. So he would never ask me to do something that's going to end up negatively. If we don't obey quickly, we do open up ourselves to straying from the path of God. So let's take a look at a conclusion of all these things. A surrendered will, a loyalty to love, and eager obedience. When your will is surrendered to God, you've counted the cost, and you've decided that you're loyal to God because you know he loves you, and you've prepared yourself to obey him. If you've done these things, three things, all three of them, you're ready to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to make no excuses, and to act when he asks us to act and follow, and to get up in the morning and to go to the Word of God, to humbly respond in situations, to live for Christ, not for yourself, you're ready. It's kind of hard to preach a sermon like this to a church, because we all think of ourselves as disciples. And actually, when we take our church membership vows, we're actually saying, I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so, if you're a disciple, you know that there are great benefits for obedience. And if you've read the scriptures and you know what's coming in the future, you know following Jesus is more than worth it. If you've never made that decision to just say, okay, I'm going to step aside from my will, I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to be loyal to him. I'm going to obey him when he speaks. If you've never done that, why not now? Why not say, today, Jesus, I've fiddled around the bush my whole life. I've thought about this. I've spent my time doing other things. I've probably done a lot of really good things, but I've never said, Jesus, I'm yours. Why not now? Why not recognize that saying I am a Christian is not enough? We are saved by faith. Faith alone saves. But the faith alone that saves results in action. James said it himself. Faith without deeds is dead. Dead faith. The deeds Jesus asks us, he's asking us, give me your will. Show your love to me because I've loved you. And do what I say. I hope that we are the church that does these very things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. It's really amazing. The more we think about it, the deeper we go, the more wonderful it is. Grant that we would have grace to be your disciples in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand.
Father, giver of all good and perfect gifts, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And today we bring to you our tithes and gifts and offerings and ask, Lord, use these for your good purposes here and to the ends of the earth until Christ comes in glory. Amen.
Please join me in singing our closing hymn, I Am Thine, O Lord.
God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsels God uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet. At Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet, God be with you, till we meet.